Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
God bless the weather. I didn't think I'd ever be saying it on the show this year. I've been moaning about the weather, as you know, if you join us on Late Lunch each day since, what, Louise? Last October, I'm probably giving out about it, aren't I? I'm getting grumpy. I'm getting shocking. I'm contrary in that. But the weather. The
getting?
Weather.
Sorry, Jerry.
Oh, my God. I'm going to go into the week with the joy, the vivre, and suddenly the rug is pulled from under me. You're right. I have to say, it's been brutal. But look at this. Look at this settled spell now that came in last week and is with us at the moment. And it looks like, we're looking at the forecast, you know me in the forecast, sunshine all the way into next weekend, the bank holiday weekend.
Oh, great.
Thank God for it. We needed it. We, by God, we needed it in this country.
Hose pipe ban by Wednesday,
no. I'm going to break up the shop. I'm going to smash the shop up if I hear anything about that. If I hear a word that we haven't got water to take it handy, I'll just scream. I'll come on here screaming one day. I really will, because that's the greatest nonsense in the world. But look, anyway, you could just... Did you notice it? Like, you had confirmation the weekend.
Yeah.
And you were out and about quite a bit. You just noticed everybody in better mood. You know,
everywhere is brighter.
Brighter. Looking. People are looking better.
Yeah.
The summer clothes are out.
Yeah, you can see my skin. Look. That's the first time I've shown my arms in about a year and a half.
I don't know. You'll be able to wash that lagging jacket anyway for...
Oh, three layers.
Start, yeah. But true. But you know what we're getting at. It just lifts the spirit and it brightens everybody. And is there anything nicer, let me say, than a 99, a cone, a whipped ice cream cone at this time of the year? Oh, Louise.
Fab.
We were, myself and Ken were on our way to Sheelan on Saturday evening, late afternoon, for a bit of evening fishing. And of course, we're driving down Truce Lane. The car wouldn't go by the lights. My car refused to go by the lights in Slane. It actually took the wheel by itself and parked itself. Imagine that. My car parked itself because we had to call into Mimna's in Slane for the 99 and the chocolate in it as well. In my book, and I love whipped ice cream, and I enjoy it everywhere, really, I get it. But I have to say, Mimna's in Slane is fantastic. Do you like whipped ice cream yourself and the 99?
Love whipped ice cream, yeah.
Where would you go?
I'd kind of go, with three kids, you kind of just go where local.
Yes.
So I go to Sandpit or Termonfeckin, or, you know, it just depends on where I am.
Yes.
But I think everybody, if you look at people eating an ice cream, and I guarantee you have your little quirks, they all eat the 99 in little... different ways. Some people just nibble at the edges of the top of the cone.
Mm.
Some people take a bite out of the bottom of the cone and suck all the ice cream down. Some people get the flake and push it right down into the cone, and then everybody has a different way
of eating ice cream.
And you probably have your own, I'm sure.
Well, I'll tell you what I do. I don't bite the bottom off because it's spill everywhere. So what I do is, I do indeed. I actually, when you get in warm weather, it'll drip quite quickly. Mm. So I lick all around the ice cream to make sure that none of it drops, even down the side of the cone.
Mm-hmm.
I always keep that going, that none drops down. And then I have a bite of me little flake, and then into me ice cream, bite me flake, into me ice cream, and eat the thing down to the very last. Mm. I have to say, Termonfeckin, Centre isn't in Termonfeckin.
Yes.
Our crew go there all the time for the 99s. They drive out from town and get it there, and they love the ice cream there. Mm. We're going to talk about ice cream for the next while, because there's a little story behind it. But if you're listening to us today, and you love your whipped ice cream and 99s, It's an old favourite of ours. It really is on Late Lunch. But let us know where you love to get your whipped ice cream from. Where do you love to buy your 99? Tell us a great place near you in the northeast, Lowthermead or beyond. Let us know. 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. Where is your number one place to get your 99? I want to hear from you on the show this afternoon. We have a man standing by, and I call him the ice cream man. Sure, you could call him nothing else because his whole life he's been involved with it, and his two sons now run the wonderful Scoopalicious in Navan. Brendan Crosby, welcome to the show again.
Good afternoon, Jerry, Louise. Thank you very much for having me back on the show.
Not at all. We love the 99s. You know that, Brendan?
Yeah, absolutely. We all do. We all love the good weather, the ice cream, and most important, the foul flake in the top of the cone.
Now, that's the thing, because news has emerged over the last few days that flake, that very flake that goes into the cone, is flakier or more crumbly than usual. Have you been hearing this?
Well, there's funny, there's mixed views and mixed comments about it. In fact, I was talking to Owen, my son, and my wife, Pat, about it. And yes, the flake is slightly lighter and flakier, but some people have turned around and said that the flavour of the flake is different and nicer. So there's mixed reactions to it, which a little bit crumblier, but once you obviously keep the flake at the right temperature before you put it into the cone, it'll be perfect in it.
So it's welcomed by some for flavour, a little more fragile, others would say. Cadbury moved the production, you probably heard this, to Egypt since 2020, so it's been made elsewhere. So there's a bit of a question mark, are they doing it a little bit differently? But Cadbury seem to say not so.
Yeah, well, I suppose, again, as I was saying there, it's a little bit thinner, but quality, but flavour different for a lot of people. And the response is quite good, that the flavour is nicer.
Yes. And for you over the years, because I wouldn't like to start calculating how many ice creams you've sold to people and made up over your lifetime, Brendan, but it the flake in the cone, still the number one choice for the whipped ice cream, never mind flavourings or hundreds and thousands or that type of stuff.
Well, Jerry, you mentioned there about pulling cones. The last time I was on your show, I said it was 42 years ago. It's a little longer now.
Yeah.
So I'm a long time, involved in the ice cream business.
Yeah.
But yeah, people like, you were talking there about how people eat cones and all the rest. Right down to, believe it or not, getting the 99 with the flake, and obviously most important, the hundreds of thousands or strawberry or whatever the child or adult wants. And in some cases, they get the spoon and they actually pick from the spoon, use the spoon with the cup, with the 99 in their hand, and eat it that way as well. Because again, people have their own ways of what the way they want to eat a cone or eat a 99. Like.
Yes. So everyone has their little quirk, as Louise was saying.
Yes.
In the way they actually consume the cone. You've seen that as well. But come back to the flake. What about, you know, flavourings on a whipped ice as well? I know children have their own, you know, raspberry and strawberry flavourings as well. Is it something that you have seen become more popular over the years?
Well, even right down to where before you'd even put the flake into the cone, you'd obviously, you know, maybe put a hole in the centre of the cone and put a little bit of hot chocolate into it, or again a bit of strawberry, or Nutella, or Kinder Bueno, or caramel. There's such a variety of topping sauces that people want, and obviously different ways of doing it to make that difference. And I suppose, if I may put it myself, we were one of the first to dip a cone into the chocolate, and we get a lot of people looking for that today as well, because that was going back in the days when I started. All you had was, you know, obviously your cone,
yeah,
and you dip it in chocolate and put hundreds and thousands on it. That's quite popular as well. But in some cases, we would actually put the chocolate into the middle of the cone. So again, it's something that people like different ideas, and we do different ideas for people. We listen to the customer.
Yeah.
What the customer wants, we will do it.
God, I can just imagine that, the burst of flavour you get when you put it into the centre, all those different flavourings you mentioned there, and then when you actually encounter it through the ice cream. And obviously when you roll the chocolate in it, the chocolate solidifies with the cold of the ice cream.
Correct. But again, not the easiest thing to do. I suppose when you learn how to do it, there's many a cone drops into the chocolate, and you have to. So, but over time, you do get to very used to it. But it is very popular. In fact, I had a situation yesterday. I happened to walk in the door at one stage, and there was a lady in, and I was talking to her, and she said, "Oh, I'm in for my ice cream with the chocolate on it." She was a child when we had another shop many years ago, and now she's bringing in her own children, and she still remembers the chocolate. On the 99 or on the cone, you know.
Yeah, God, the price of them has changed in all the years. When you think back to when you started, what the cost of them was, like, the whole world has changed, and your price today is nothing compared to years and years ago. But they were cheap and cheerful at one stage.
Well, Louise might remember. Don't want to show her age, but you might remember we used to do, we'd shop in Railway Street called the Leesbrook Stores, and we used to do an after school deal where we'd sell the cone for 20p. If I can get a little plug in here, we now do a uniform after-school deal with milkshakes. Buy one, get one free.
Right.
And very popular with the students. We charge £3.50, so you get two for the price of one. And we do that after-school for the students. So we continued with having an after-school deal. Which obviously, the milkshake now is a very popular thing.
Well, Louise had just said to me in my headphones, didn't you, Louise?
Yeah.
20p, the 20p, you remember it.
I remember specifically my first day ever in secondary school in Mercy, in Navan, and you were only up the road. And it was lovely, of course, in September, first day school back. And we all said, right, we have to go up here for the ice cream for 20p. And the queue was nearly from Railway Street down to the school.
Well,
I'll never forget, but it was worth the wait.
Well, Louise, we were again in those days. We had strawberry vanilla mixed ice cream with chocolate in hundreds and thousands. So we had a machine actually that, again in those days, there wasn't all the variety that there is today. You had that three headed machine to do all that. But today, I suppose ice cream has completely changed from gelato.
I remember that it came out, you know, all the colours together.
Yeah. How much
I could tell a funny story, but I wouldn't like to, in case my wife is listening in.
Oh, go on.
I couldn't actually, because I might get divorced. And I wouldn't like it.
We'll pay the fees. Go ahead.
My wife is, and I hope she's not listening in, but we one particular Sunday in Railway Street, we were, as Louise said, out the door. I think it was Cemetery Sunday. But my wife had, and there was one or two other people on, had pulled so many cones that night we were in bed, and my wife sat up in the bed and she says, "A strawberry vanilla mixed chocolate in hundreds and thousands." So it's something I'll never forget. She killed me for saying that. Anyway, it was something that has gone down over the years, and it's something that I always remember. But she was dreaming about pulling cones that night.
Pat, only a man that loves you with all his heart would actually tell a story like that.
She's still very much involved in the business. As I have, again, two sons, one with autism, Kieran, who came as adopted. He's from Bulgaria. He's 25. And he came to Ireland when he was two, and he's very much involved, not actually in behind the counter, but in the background.
Yes.
Bringing stock in, bringing all the relevant stuff, making sure the shop is ready for the following morning. So, and then obviously my younger son, who's involved in the business. So we have staff then as well, and we all work very well as a team. Try to give top quality ice cream, top quality service. And of course, standards and everything is so important.
Yes, and you are working out of Scoopalicious, that beautiful place in Navan there. And the other thing, just to say, this is on the serious side. You know, there's a lot of health and safety involved here behind the scenes and keeping everything clean and 100%, isn't there? There's a lot of emphasis on you guys to do your job 100% right.
There is indeed, Jerry. Well, first, yes, we are, Scoopalicious is, if I may guess, the plug-in press. We're there in Preston Place, we're at the site entrance there beside McDonald's. Yes, there's a lot of behind the scenes, which, I mean, in any business, there's a lot behind the scenes, but obviously, where food ice cream is concerned, we obviously have HSE regulations related to temperature checks, quality checks, cleaning of ice cream machines. Again, that's a very important thing. The bubble waffle machine has to be kept right, all the relevant stuff. So there's a lot of stuff goes on early in the morning, late at night. Again, I suppose in some cases people might realise it has to be done. But in order to give the quality and the standard that's required, so that the customer, when they come back every time, gets the same quality, that has to be right. The ice cream machine has to be cleaned on a weekly basis. Your gelato machine has to be defrosted and all the relevant stuff, again, on a regular basis. When I mentioned gelato, we actually sell a brand called Lick Gelato, which is our manufacturer, has won awards for the best ice cream in the UK and Northern Ireland. And again, a lot of different flavours in that as well. Mm. So yes, there's a lot of scenes. Most, again, no different than any business. Once you do it right, which we, glad to say, we've always done it over the years, and you continue to do it, and having a team around you, which we have, we all work well to make an experience Lovely. For that customer coming in.
And, you know, you talk about, troughs and peaks. You're open there all year. Naturally, weather like this, I take it, you know, the sales go through the roof.
Absolutely, Jerry. Ice cream, again, from my own experience over the years, has completely changed. Again, as we joked earlier on about strawberry, vanilla and all the rest, that was going back in the day. So all year round, I mean, yes, no question about it, the sun comes out, business increases, but again, people are buying from bubble waffles to crepes to smoothies to, we do bubble tea as well, your coffees, your donuts, you know, your croffles, all the rest, which all incorporate ice cream.
Yes.
So in the cold weather, people will buy a bubble waffle, they'll get their gelato ice cream into it, they'll get their strawberries, whatever the case, their toppings, their hot chocolate, whatever on it. So yeah, it does change through the seasons. But yeah, we love to see the sunshine. But again, I heard, as Louise said, and you said yourself, it gives us all, from the shorts that we're on, gives us that holiday mode, whether we're on holidays or not, we'd have an ice cream, we'd go for a bag of chips, whatever the case may be. So it works for all of us, like, you know what I mean?
Does tough times affect you? Or, you know, when there's a squeeze, as we've all been experiencing with, you know, energy prices, fuel, you name it, the cost of groceries and that. Does that impinge on ye with your ice cream sales?
I haven't seen it, Jerry, but we're heading for 2 years now this August, and we have not touched our prices in any manner. We have left the same price from the day we opened today, and no different, you mentioned it there, our energy prices trebled, but we haven't done that. We haven't touched anything, continued to give the same quality service that we started with, and hopefully we'll continue to do so by giving that and giving value. And talking about that, Jerry, if I'm allowed, I'd like to give the first 5 people into Scoopalicious a free ice cream, either a 99 or a gelato with 3 scoops of ice cream. And if they allow a photograph to go back to yourselves or wherever the case may be, Owen or Alison, who are on there this afternoon, anytime it's now, do now, and we'll say 2:30, the first 5, if that's okay with you.
Yep.
The first 5 people into Scoopalicious, and mentioned Jerry Kelly or Louise Farrar, and they listen to the LMS, so Scoopalicious will be delighted to do so.
Okay, that's great. So you have to go into Scoopalicious and say, Jerry Kelly, Louise Walsh, Late Lunch, LMFM Radio. That's the important thing to say. LMFM Radio. You say that, first 5 in, they're going to be looked after.
Yes, and just Owen or Alison, who are there, we'll be only delighted to look after.
And send us back a pic. We'd love to see you getting your ice cream in Scoopalicious. You're a great fella. Good luck to you. Hope the good weather lasts till the end of September, and that you sell loads. You're even more ambitious than me, I have to say. Brendan, you're a great guy. Thank you for joining me on the show.
Jerry, thank you very much, and appreciate being asked to come back on the show.
Not at all. And say hello to your wife, Pat, if she's still there when you get back, and the boys. Okay.
Bye.
See you, Brendan. Bye. That's Brendan Crosby there. How do you like your ice cream? Where do you get your whipped ice cream from? Scoopalicious is a fantastic place in Navan. Where do you go for your whipped ices? Let me know. 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. They're coming into me here as I speak. Christy Ryan's shop in Rathmullyne, Jerry, says Mairead, have 99 cones and ice cream to die for. I love the cone at the Ross Cross shop, says Rose this afternoon. I know that we shop there. It's absolutely gorgeous. Got to try the 99s in Clarehead, Jerry. They're simply beautiful, says another listener. Maria says, funny enough, I like the Supermax whipped ice cream. Isn't that interesting? And you know, Louise, there's one. I know there's so many individual shops to it. Big Mac, the McDonald's ice cream. I don't know whether you ever tasted it.
No.
You know,
nice?
Very nice. Very nice with an apple pie. A hot apple pie.
Oh, lovely.
And McDonald's ice cream. I have to say, that is a really nice one too.
I just like to give a shout out on days like this to all the people working in an ice cream shop near a school. Because I'd say after 2 or after 3, They are just inundated with all screaming kids that from about 4 years upwards looking for ice cream.
They're going to be busy for sure.
Yeah.
They really are. But well done and good luck to you all as well, as Louise says. Just on the confectionery theme, I don't know whether you saw this. Do you like a Mars bar?
No.
A Mars bar?
Mars bar.
M-A-Z-Z-B-R-R.
Oh, is it different?
Well, did you not hear the news of what's happening?
No.
They've gone retro with Mars bars, to give it its right pronunciation, because when they were launched, you know, it's in the public domain of Mars bar since 1932.
Oh.
And up until 1977, it was a paper wrapper on the Mars bar, right? Then they changed, right, to non-environmentally friendly. They're going back to the paper wrapper with the Mars bar. Now, and they're trialling it in 500 Tesco stores in the UK, and to get the good feedback, they're going to roll it out to Bounty Galaxy, Maltesers, Milky Way and Snickers, which is the other brands in that stable as well. So they're going back to paper wrapping there and see how it goes. And of course,
what would that work if it melts?
Well, make sure you don't leave it anywhere it can melt. You see all that chocolate you usually have in your car? Shift it. Shift it.
Too late.
You're gonna be in a well of chocolate in your car.
Too
Don't
late.
Leave that chocolate in your car. I know it melts.
It'll reset by October.
Yeah, no, what happens is, it's great. It melts during the day and then at night time it's cool and it resets in a different shape and form. Will you give it to your children in the name of God and stop being a Grinch? You're on to me.
I will. I'll get rid of my Easter eggs this weekend.
Oh, you haven't got Easter eggs.
I have, yeah.
St. Christopher.
I have two arrows.
You're joking me.
Two arrows, one kind of funny one, and it's got all kind of all these sparkly things through it. Maggie would like it upstairs, and I have a Bailey's one.
Oh, what are you like? I just have to say.
You see, I do say, right, I'll get rid of them, and then I add to it. I add to the collection for the kids, and then the kids get loads, and then I have loads left over. So it's just there if, you know.
I'm just thinking here. I'd love to see leave one in your front seat and you just jump into the car in an emergency on the phone and sit in it.
I'm probably kind of like a modern day one of them child catchers. Do you remember that? What was that film? Shitty Shitty Bang Bang.
Except for it'll be called Shitty Shitty Bang Bang if you sit in the chocolate. Anyway.
But I'd smell nice.
Absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. Oh, listen. Listen, there'll be people wanting to lick your jeans clean. Yes, of course.
But they're not paper jeans.
No, they're not. You can't go near them. Anyway, yesterday, my girl was 55 yesterday. Miss Kylie Minogue celebrated her birthday yesterday. She was 55 years of age. Happy birthday, Kylie, belatedly. There you go. And it looks like she's big number one hit in the charts on her hands as well. Badam Badam, our latest single, is flying high. And there you are. That'd be a lovely
can
present
play
for
that
our birthday.
This week?
Well, I'm sure it's in there somewhere. We'll ask the boss if we can and see if we can. But anyway, big birthday day for the girl yesterday. Anyway, let's have a song on late lunch. And before we play it, sorry, I nearly forgot. Big birthday in Duleek.
Huge.
In Duleek. Trevor Connell is celebrating a big birthday in the league. Trevor, happy birthday. And I'm delighted. You won't believe this.
Everybody has to just rock up and give him a kiss.
Oh, listen. Trevor Connell, wish him happy birthday. Do what you want with him. Anyway, it's great to see him wearing the red and white, the new loud short that Tricia bought him for his birthday.
Yeah, it really looks good in him,
I believe. It looks great in
him.
It does.
He's always wanted.
And he's right as well. He's right supporting a team that are in the All-Ireland, you know, and leaving the Mead short aside until a later date, perhaps.
He won't like us for that.
Keep up that support for the Wee County, Trevor. You're a great man. I love that about Trevor, you know what I mean? It can be Meath or Loud. He's so generous like that in his support. Happy birthday, Trevor. Have a good one.
We'll never be able to set foot in the lake.
Now, artificial intelligence, or AI, it's been in the news new time. Even the weekend newspapers is full of it. And it's in the news, I'll tell you, because, you see, the people who actually were involved in developing it, tech leaders, are warning people about the dire potential consequences of their own inventions. But is it to be feared, or will it enhance life for humankind? Well, we're going to talk about it for the next while with Mark Kelly. He's the Director of Relationship Management with AI Ireland. Mark, great to have you with us on the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for speaking with me today.
No, and you with us. I do appreciate it. Look, for our listeners here on Late Lunch on LMFM, artificial intelligence, it's not a new thing. It's embedded in a lot of our lives already. Give us some examples.
So the best example I'd probably share is Netflix. So when people are using Netflix, you are getting recommended from a recommendation engine. So the shows that you watch, let's say you give them a like, thumbs up or thumbs down, or how much of a show you watch, or you know, how much of a many series that you watch, everything that you will be actually shared with in the future is based on your previous watch history, but also your demographics, your location. So nobody has the same Netflix experience. It's all based on personalization. Let's say you're putting a search into Google, things to do on the bank holiday weekend. Well, if you start to do THINGS, it will come up with a high level of certainty in terms of what you're actually going to put up, and that is generating text for you to go through. But even if you look at fraud detection, so if there's an account query that you may have, or you're getting a call to say that your credit card has stopped working, chances are they've seen a regular account system and they're actually flagging that, and that's worked across billions upon billions of different types of series that are going through that. But then drug discovery. So bringing drugs to the market can take between 15 to 20 years, if not longer, billions upon billions of dollars invested in that. And now this is actually doing that at a lot shorter. But the great thing about it is there's a lot of different case studies. And I'm the founder of Artificial Intelligence Ireland, and we have over 100 podcasts available for people to listen to case studies in action that actually share how AI has been used in Ireland. And each year we have the November AI Awards, and we've had that for 5 years now. And we have over 400 case studies about how companies have been able to utilize an AI in Ireland and abroad. So the real applications are available for people to use. And this is using technology as an enabler.
So you obviously like this, you're pro it, and it's very positive, and the examples in your podcast show us how it's used in a positive fashion. It strikes me that AI has been invented by mankind, so one of the fears is that it'll take over from us, that it'll control us, control everything on the planet. Is that an irrational fear?
So I think when you look at this, you know, AI is a technology, and it's evolved. It's become, I suppose, in the last 9 months, it has kind of exploded. So I've been in this field for 5 years. I've interviewed over 400 leaders in AI, and not one of those leaders have said we would be where we're at. So we're definitely at a turning point. Now, what's nice about living in Europe is we have the European Union that's very focused around having guardrails around this. And we've set up an AI Act that's become a step closer, because it's now going to be passed in the coming months, which means that it's going to take into consideration the limitations and the biases that AI has. And it's going to mean that if you're going to use an AI product, you have to be mindful that it has to pass certain criteria. The easiest way I'd explain that would be kind of like a safety mark if you're selling like kind of electrical type product. So there's a lot of different biases, and the algorithm, you know, is based in certain cases on information that isn't true. So we have to take all that into consideration when we're using this. And, you know, same way if you do a Google search and information comes up, you don't take that as the absolute truth. You need to understand that it could actually drop down. So what you have is people can see the positive impact and how it can actually positively impact people's lives, but also there's people that's flagging it as the challenges and adversarial effect in terms of privacy and making sure that that's actually used for good, right? And people don't necessarily know where this AI tool will go, because we're at this kind of point where it's been a lot of positive case studies, but people are concerned that it could go into negative hands. And this is why the AI Act and, you know, different countries are putting this into place, because they want to add some type of regulation to this and let people use it. Then the nice thing about ChatGPT is, because it's become so popular and people are utilizing it, it's really bringing a national conversation. And this is what I want. I want to have a national conversation where people are talking about the advancements and how we're actually going to be able to utilize this, and ultimately how to help improve society about how we actually see it day to day.
Yes, so what you're saying, there are potential dangers here that the EU is legislating for now, but it couldn't take over. I just want to come back to that point again. Can mankind invent something that could actually, you know, destroy mankind? Is that possible with AI?
So let's be kind of clear. So as much as advanced AI and ChatGPT and Bard AI and these things are incredible at the moment, what we have to look at is you know, OpenAI has been able to put a user face on a technology that's been around for years, which is fantastic because it's letting people try it and utilize it. New case studies are coming together, and it does sound intelligent, but it's not sentient, right? So
yes.
So we need to understand that it's not sentient.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to use for this technology is making people's lives easier. Making it able to actually do business more effectively, be able to, if like you're a teacher, you can gather research, you can create a class plan, you can do so many different things to add value. And what you want to try to do is make sure that you don't kind of go past the mark where you're concerned that this isn't going to add value, but it can be turned into negatively. The concern people have with AI is it doesn't learn like we learn. Like exponentially, this grows so quickly that the world, once it's out, the genie in the bottle, once it's out, you're kind of concerned, is that will you ever get it back? And this is the importance of having different stakeholders and society involved in having guardrails, having people knowing that when you're building it, you've got privacy by design, and you're actually thinking about the long-term impact of technology rather than actually just getting it out there and actually not being mindful. And luckily where we live, this is front and center of the agenda, and it's something that gives me great confidence about it as well.
And I know you say we live in Europe, it's just that you worry about perhaps other parts of the world and what people might do with it. But here's the thing, sentience is very important because you can't, you know, perceive or feel things, but yet, you know, the intelligence is the other aspect of that. But that gives me perhaps a little comfort as I hear what you say. The other big worry about this is, and it's all over the place as well, all the job losses are going to be ginormous across industry, business and the world. Is that a fact? Is it going to wipe out employment?
Well, what we've seen is through COVID is the fast track of digital transformation. So what that made was where people, you know, couldn't leave their houses, they needed to be able to do things online. And, you know, this could be as simple as going to Specsavers and trying to have that type of experience. Or let's say you want to get your driving license done, you can upload that and actually get it sent to you. So digital transformation is not going to stop. So I mentioned Netflix at the start. Yeah. Companies want to have that Netflix type of experience. Users want to have that Netflix type of experience where it works. So there's always going to be, industries are all going to change and everything is going to need to be improved because customer experience, people want this. So with that, people's roles will change. And with different types of tools, AI tools, you'll see recent research has said between 10% to 50% of people's roles will be automated in some of their tasks. So that doesn't mean that humans will be removed from those roles. It just means that the human will be in the loop, but part of their role will be automated where they can do more creative style work. And from my perspective, if you can use technology to add significant value to the person doing the job, and then from a customer experience, and that is a positive thing. However, there's also an education piece needed. You know, digital dexterity for all is really important. And when we created AI Ireland, that was the main purpose, was to let people know about that for the older generation, to make sure that they're actually embracing this technology. Because as much as people are hearing the buzzwords, I want people to feel comfortable around how to start to use this, how to engage with it, what are the pluses, what are the minuses. And part of that is also education, you know, just in terms of taking a short course, you know, watching a tutorial, trying to think, how can I significantly add value to my job and how can I add value to the role I do? The nice thing about AI, though, is it's moved away from you have to be a dedicated programmer to get a value from this. People can actually utilize this technology by being problem solvers, being creative in their approach. And there's a huge opportunity to generate jobs about that. And Ireland's in a really nice position to be a leader in this area in terms of setting its stall out to actually generate more jobs than losses. So I'd be more focused about the possible jobs that you'd be able to create. And for a lot of the jobs that would be automated or spoken about automated, it's because there isn't a skill set out there to deliver on those jobs. So they actually need to create different types of tools to actually automate those tasks.
You mentioned education, and of course, ChatGPT has raised its head in the education field in particular. Will that replace Google ultimately?
Well, if you'd asked me 6 months to 9 months ago, would I see Google search being overtaken the next 2, 3 years, 4 or 5 years? I'd be like, no, not a chance. But from using ChatGPT personally, I found it to be absolutely incredible to use. So I can't see why people will continue using Google search in the years to come, because ChatGPT is so much more advanced. When you're using ChatGPT, you feel like saying thank you. When I use Google search, it's more a transaction. So it's the emphasis now is, how does Google step back up? And Google have got involved with Baird AI, and this is their equivalent to ChatGPT. So there's still, you know, a long way to go. But how we interact with this technology and how we interact with searching and how we interact with our day-to-day will change. And I expect in the next year to 18 months, we will have a Google, a Google style or Microsoft style assistant, where you will be able to have a personalized journey. So, for example, if you want to somebody reminding you how to do a cooking lesson, or giving you some advice on your fitness goals, or how you're actually planning that trip abroad, your itinerary, using plugins to enable an airline pilot, an airline service such as Ryanair, to choose your ticket, or if your phone gets misplaced or broken, rather than you have to go through all that process, you'll be able to get a chatbot to be able to manage through that process for you in a really straightforward way. And that's the way it's going to be. And even now, when we're actually doing a Google search, chances are we'll speak into it rather than actually do the typing. Or if we're watching a TV program, or you know, using our smart TV, we can speak. So that was a start to evolve. I see the next 6 to 12 months as being truly groundbreaking in terms of how quickly it will evolve. But we all need to be available to go on that journey. And step one is just open our eyes to start to use some of these tools.
Misinformation has been a big issue for the social media platforms. Will it be a challenge in this area too? You've seen the way that's been manipulated around the world to peddle lies, to be honest with you, in many instances. Where does that fit with AI?
And that's a real challenge. You know, people understand that's a challenge, and it's something that the whole industry needs to work on. You know, fairness, transparency, explainability, that has to be the foundation of this, because if it doesn't, people won't believe in it, they'll mistrust this, and that's going to push AI products further down the line, because people just won't want to try to engage in us. And this is where...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The regulation has to come in to make sure that there's a barrier for people actually working on negative misinformation and putting across, because that's not a society I want to live in.
Interesting. Lots of food for thought in what we've been speaking about for the last while. I thank you for joining me and throwing some light on this for us, Mark, and I wish you well with your company, AI Ireland. Thanks a million.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Take care of yourself. That's Mark Kelly there, Director of Relationship Management with AI Ireland. A whole new world opens up in the very near future. That is for certain. You're with Late Lunch on LMFM Radio. Oh, it'd be the right weather to sail away with David, wouldn't it? David Gray there, yes. Out on the water, the place to be. I'll tell you, it's not, you'd be fried out in the water. You've got to make sure you're well, well protected from that sunshine. The sun, Louise, and protecting yourself from the sun, it's just something I wanted to mention today on the show. Hats, plenty of cream on with children as well, because in minutes in that sunshine, you know, you'll feel the heat on your arms or wherever else besides. It's so important, isn't it?
It's not only sunburn, it's the other,
the UV.
Yep.
The UV rays that they say around skin all
cancer.
Year. Yes, absolutely. You know, and I'm the worst in the world in angler for years and years. Look at my hands. Look at the colour of my hands with fishing. Look at them. Look at the colour of my hands compared to anywhere else. Because you wouldn't think of really putting sun cream on. And you're generally covered up everywhere else. But you know what anglers and farmers and outdoor people, back of the neck, the ears, Louise.
Oh, okay.
The ears. You forget the ears. And people, skin cancer's a divil on the ears as well. You've got to do the ears, but it's well, well worth protecting.
Because the skin would be much thinner, wouldn't it?
Oh, indeed it is. Indeed it is. And, you know, it's been a problem.
Isn't it amazing, though, what 20 years, the changes to do with, like 20 years ago, you know, you see all the students out in front of the school in good weather studying and putting olive oil on their legs to get a better tan.
To get a better tan.
What's the other olive oil or the sunflower oil. Yeah.
Well, so you'd look better with the sunflower oil, I'm sure.
It was just like to attract the heat. I mean, crazy when
Mad
you think about
stuff.
It.
Or, you know, I remember my dad was brown as a berry, and he'd be working outdoors in the summer with the shirt off. You know what I mean? He would be just, you'd think he was Spanish at times looking at him with the sun, you know, and people love to get that colour. And yeah, it looks well. I noticed a lot of the milk bottle arms and legs out the last few days. I meant to say that, you know, the milk bottle crew that come out at this time of the year.
You can get a great thing now. It's a moisturiser, tinted moisturiser. So you don't have to go out into the sun. You can just put it on your arms and you can get a tan.
And you've the colour instantly, have you?
You've moisturised your arms, you've the colour instantly, and you don't have to. Yeah, you can wear a cardigan outside or a legging jacket or anything. But you don't have to expose your skin unnecessarily.
God, the things I learn on this show every single day of the week are amazing. But it is important, you know, to mind ourselves. We know that now. The knowledge is with us. God, when I think years ago, you're right, when you go back. And remember people coming back from Spain with their skin bubbled? No, I'm not joking. I saw people coming back in at airports with bubbles. Look. Bubbles on their arms and legs from the scalding from the sunshine, the damage we didn't realise.
I got massive burns in Australia.
Did you?
I was really sick, like I should have probably went to the hospital. I couldn't even walk. My legs were that, kind of the skin on them had gone so bad. And I was in bits for days. I was in bed, I couldn't even get out.
Yeah, it will bring a sickness. I got sunburn in the Alps.
In the Alps,
summertime in the Alps, up in the, you know, when you're that high up
altitude,
and you don't realise that you got, and I felt I had to go to bed for a couple of days, sickness with the burn that I got as well. You know, you'd think, you know, you're up there and there's still snow surviving there in summertime, but you're closer to the sun, the UV, etc. You know, so you got to really, really take care. But especially
50 plus and keep applying regularly.
Yeah, that's the message today. And it's so important to do it. And watch the children as well. You know, they are hardy in that, but they need to get their sun protection on early in the
day.
Soles
of your feet for the kids running around.
Stop. Stop. Anyway, but we're not killjoying it by any means. Get out and enjoy it. Love it. And the vitamin D from the sun is great too. But just to be sensible, that's all we're saying. A little bit of sense is very, very important. Now, the other thing with the sun in this time of the year is you need to hydrate yourself. And especially with the exams, Louise, coming up, it's always generally good when the exams start. So what about this? Hydration, eating well in exams? Well, we're going to find out about it next, because Rachel Graham is a wonderful nutritionist. She's a great friend of ours on the show, and she's with me in a few moments. Sod's Law, it's always belting down the sunshine. I mention when exams are on, and the exams, they say the exams set to start, and the pressure is really on. And I know revising is a huge thing. Knowing that you know as much as you can going into the exams is a great help, but it's important that you get rest, you get sleep, and you power the old human engine with food and drink. Good stuff, that is. And the exams on the horizon, well, no better woman to talk to than Rachel Graham. Afternoon again, Rachel.
Hi, Jerry. How are you?
I'm really good. Thanks for joining us on the show. It is an aspect, I don't think I'm taking liberty here in saying it, that at times is not talked about much. You know, hydration, good nutrition, etc. in and around exam time.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's so important because, well, actually, our brain is our hungriest organ. And, you know, you may underestimate that fact, but it becomes very apparent once you sit down at your desk and start studying, because you will find yourself really hungry when you're concentrating a lot. There's a lot of, you know, mental processing going on, memory, concentration, all of these things. And, you know, our brain actually runs on glucose. So we need to constantly fuel it in order to make it easy for it to function optimally. And I think also at exam time, you know, we're stressed. So that's another factor. And so it's really important to be able to give our body the key tools that it requires in order to be able to function and also not to be reactive to stress. So and nutrition really plays a key role. And there's lots of things that you can do in order to make the whole process easier, to make yourself feel more energized, less stressed, and also give yourself that longevity, because, you know, it's a long day of exams. And, you know, for some students, they may have two exams in one day that are, you know, very different, very complex. And so you need to have that kind of staying power for the whole day. And so specific foods will really make that much easier for you, as opposed to what you may think as being the obvious choices, like those high energy drinks or high sugar or, you know, carb filling your day, which are in fact the wrong choices to make.
So let's take a typical exam day for a student, and they get up, you know, a reasonable hour in the morning, a couple of hours perhaps ahead of the time of the exam, which they need to be up anyway. Let's start there. Breakfast wise, what should they take on board?
Yeah, so really looking at complex carbohydrates, which are the whole grains, protein, so things like eggs and yogurt, healthy fats, nuts, avocados, all of these choices will give you that sustained energy that I'm talking about and really help to support that cognitive function. And and you know, by including these types of foods, which are omega-3 rich foods, like walnuts and chia seeds, things like that, in your granola, or adding those to porridge, those are great choices as well, or having something like a live probiotic yogurt, which is protein rich, also with something like some good nuts and seeds, like a low sugar granola. These are all great options to help you start your day.
And should that be sufficient? Let's take a morning exam, and you do a two and a half hour morning exam. Should that be sufficient, or what should you take with you to the exam hall? Let's talk about in terms of hydration or something to boost along the way.
Yeah. So, I mean, typical brain foods would be things like walnuts, blueberries. So you could take those as snacks. It's actually, you're better off not, you know, overloading your gut, first of all, with food, because it's actually going to make you feel really tired. So you're going to be finding that you're just not as focused as you need to be or want to be. So actually just eating roughly every 3 hours is my general recommendation, because that helps to keep your blood sugars balanced and it means you're constantly topping yourself up. So a normal size breakfast, you don't have to overeat, but do take snacks with you. So you could take something like oat cakes with you. You could take some almond butter with you. You could take some apple and almond butter. You could take some blueberries with some walnuts. Those are all good snack options.
So a Mars bar, we were talking about it earlier on. No disrespect to Mars or anything like that. You'd steer away from that stuff, would you?
Yes, I mean, it's just high sugar. So you're going to get a massive glucose spike and then you're going to crash straight away energy wise. And you're just going to feel tired. And, you know, you're going to be craving more of those types of foods. So you'd be likely then reaching for things like caffeine or high energy drinks or sugary drinks. And you're just going to be on this sugar high. So you're going to be literally wired and tired, and it's not going to help you to, you know, make all those, you know, cognitive processes that you need to be able to make in order to ace your exam.
So let's take the example of somebody who has two papers. I don't know how many times this crops up, but there can be an instance where you have a morning paper and afternoon paper. What do you do in that middle part when you have the break? What do you suggest there, nutrition wise, and taking on board liquids?
Yeah, definitely hydrate for sure. And also get outside and get some fresh air. I think taking a break, taking short breaks in particular, are so beneficial. Give your brain a rest. You know, mental fatigue really is can impair your performance. And, you know, also then allowing for some healthy snacking and hydration or a proper lunch, depending on how you have fueled yourself before and during your exam. So just make sure that you're well prepared. And I think just taking a break is also really key. I mean, it's beautiful weather at the moment. I heard you guys talking about it. And it can be so beneficial just to take a break and just actually do something that isn't learning related. Maybe just kick a ball or go for a nice walk or chat with friends. You know, do something. Give your brain a rest.
Good advice there. And then when the day is concluded, let's say the main meal happens around tea time, late evening tea time or whatever. Again, what do you need there to fuel the body to optimum level for the stress and the strain of exams?
Yeah, so I think, again, in the evening time, so what you want to do is you want to set yourself up for a good quality restful night's sleep. So you don't want to overload with like a massive bowl of pasta or a big, huge pizza or something like that, which you may find yourself inclined to reach for because you want to reward yourself. Instead, I would generally say have a really nice piece of grilled chicken or fish with a nice salad, maybe some whole grain rice, maybe a baked sweet potato. You know, those kind of things will actually, first of all, you'll be able to digest them a lot easier. Your body's going to be able to utilize and absorb all of those nutrients really easily. And that is going to support that recovery that you need and give yourself, again, that rest. I'm also encouraging relaxation, just, you know, to unwind and de-stress, really, really important, because you want to be able to wake up the following morning feeling refreshed after a good night's sleep and be ready for the day. You know, it's kind of like a marathon, this, you know, so it's like an endurance test nearly, you know, so just every single day, just looking after yourself. So self-care is really important.
So each day, if you follow that routine and your advice there, it'll set you up optimally. Sleep is a thing we've talked about, you and I, in the past. And, you know, staying up late at night, you know, really cramming on the eve of any exam is something that I've heard not alone from yourself, but from the experts in terms of studying techniques. They actually don't recommend. What about sleep? Getting a good night's sleep? How many hours on average should an 19-year-old be getting at exam time?
Oh, well, I mean, our teenagers naturally sleep more because their brain is developing. So actually we think that 7 or 8 hours sleep is like the nirvana. But for them, that's actually, you know, not really optimum amounts of sleep. So they're looking at more, in terms of their duration of sleep. But I think sleep quality is just as important. So getting that morning light is also really important, because that actually promotes the synthesis of melatonin, which is your sleep hormone. So that will enable you to fall asleep easier and then also to stay asleep. So if they can get 7 or 8 hours, that would be great. I mean, I know that especially during exam time, you know, if you have a student that's really intent on doing very well in certain subjects, that they are going to be studying a little bit at nighttime, but it's just maybe more light revision as opposed to cramming, and not doing overdoing it and trying to get into bed early. Also avoiding screen time as well, too much of that, because that blue light that is emitted from our devices, like our laptops and our iPhones and whatnot, is very stimulating. So that can actually disturb that whole balance between melatonin and cortisol, which can then unfortunately negatively impact your sleep quality. So you're really better off just trying to have put your phone or your laptops or whatever it is in another room, put on some relaxing music, maybe even do a little light stretching, yoga. I mean, this is kind of, you know, we're doing things at a very high level here, but still, you know, any form of relaxation is so beneficial for you. And even if you could take a magnesium salt bath, that would be great to help relax you, because magnesium is known as nature's tranquilizer. Heating up the body as well to a higher temperature also makes you sleepier. So that will also send you into a nice restful night's sleep. But magnesium is fantastic, and you could even supplement that and in the evening time in order to help relax you, especially if you're feeling a bit anxious, maybe about the next day's exam. You could also even journal a little bit, Jerry. That would be really good. Just get it all out on the paper and don't take it to bed with you and worry and stress and fret about it overnight. So all of these things will be just setting you up for good quality sleep that is going to help you wake the following morning feeling refreshed, that you are going to be able to slay the day, as I say, and because that is that's what you want. You know, you want to walk into that exam room feeling confident.
God, you are a coach that will be in demand all across the country with exams looming for sure. But look, seriously, that is all sound advice and can make a huge difference to a young person tackling these exams. There is no doubt about that. It's something that it's an aspect. That's why I wanted to talk to you today about it. It's an aspect, again, I come back to this, that is often overlooked.
Yeah, exactly. Very much so, because you think, okay, God, cramming, you know, excessive caffeine, sugary drinks, you know, all of these kind of things, which basically lead to sleep disturbances, restlessness, and just, you know, those highs and lows of energy and crashes, lack of focus. So it's really working against you. It's like putting a massive barrier up between you and the results that you want. So just think that this is a marathon, not a sprint. And, you know, you need to fuel yourself effectively and accordingly in order to be able to maintain the pace. And also not that at the end of this whole thing, you're literally going to collapse in a heap, that you're going to be able to then, you know, enjoy your downtime and maybe go off on a nice holiday or whatever it is, you know. But it's a strategy without a doubt. And I think going into exam time without a strategy in order to fuel yourself effectively would be something that is going to impact your performance.
The difference my life would have been had I known you all those years ago and you directing me compared to the way we took it on. Oh my God, don't even get me started with that one. But sound advice from Rachel Graham this afternoon. Just before we finish up as well, a lot to look forward to for yourself, because your new book called The Menopause Kitchen is on the way. July, is it?
Yes, exactly. It's going to be available in all bookshops nationwide on the 6th of July. So it will be with Eason's, Waterstones, Hodges and Figgis, the Kenny's. It is in Dubray. It's everywhere. So I'm really excited about that. And actually, Eason's have a pre-order special offer that if you pre-order with them, so it's available on pre-order for all from all of those outlets that I just mentioned. But if you pre-order with Eason's, they're running a competition where you can win a one-to-one consultation with me. And yeah, so that's a nice incentive, I suppose, to order with Eason's. But yeah, I'm very excited, I have to say.
And building on all the work you've done and what you've written about on your website and everything else, you know, dealing on one-to-one and in group on group basis as well with people over the years, all coming together.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's fantastic. So I'm delighted. I really am. It's great. And I'm looking forward to seeing my book in the shops and being able to share more recipes and advice around menopause for my clients and for, you know, women who generally need this kind of advice.
Your Grace, and to make sure a copy of the book comes this way, and we'll get into more detail about it nearer the time of launch. But do check this wonderful woman out, rachelgraham.ie. All the information is there that you need to access. Have a lovely day, and thanks for organising the sleep and nutrition and hydration for our exam students this exam time. Thank you, Rachel.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome, Jerry. Have a great day. All the best.
You too. Take care now. Bye-bye. That's Rachel Graham there. She's simply wonderful. RachelGraham.ie. She's a wonderful website there. Do check her out. Best 99s, says a listener, Finlay's Shop, Irish Street, RD. Brendan was on to say that you can't beat the Roma in Dundalk. It's absolutely fantastic. And they have all the sauces and the hundreds and thousands and flakes and anything you want. Thanks indeed for your messages to us about wonderful ice cream, whipped ice cream cones. Do you know what I did yesterday, Louise? I was up in the attic and I took down the paddling pool, Louise. Oh. I took down the paddling pool. Now, we've had to change the paddling pools a few years because generally when you take them down year to year, there's a puncture in them, or, you know what I mean, or a hole or something. Or you blow them up, put water, and the next thing you know, it's like a pancake on the grass.
Can you fix it with patches?
Oh, I never bothered. Just went and got another one. Anyway, we got quite a decent one last year. Good size, feels a bit heavier than that. I have to go at it now. The girls and boys want it this week available to them to arrive at Centre Parks, which I call my back garden, Centre Parks. The grandchildren will arrive and they want it pumped up. Do you know what the bugger is, though? Blowing up the pool.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to pump.
We have a pump.
Okay.
Thank God. But then the trouble was getting the right fitting, do you understand?
Yeah.
To fit the pool. But Sarah got a pump, great pump. And actually, they borrowed it last week. I must get them to bring it back. But did you ever, were you ever involved in trying to actually blow it up? You know, when you have to press on the little valve?
No, you'd be there for years.
Years. And then your lungs, you'd be taking a breath. And trying to keep the air in and keeping it.
And then you put it outside and the cat jumps in and claws.
But I'm sure people are taking paddling pools down all over the place this week for the children. Again, lovely. And it's a great, great thing for the little ones to have it, keep a good eye on them. And they just absolutely love it. Did I tell you I went out to our back garden once and found Messi in it?
Did you?
Yeah. He got in. You know, Labrador. Labradors love swimming. Yeah, once upon a time, I had to shoo him out of it and I didn't tell them. I just scooped out the hairs and they jumped into it and there wasn't a bother in any of them at all.
Did you use it?
I was in it, yeah, sure, I was in it with them, yeah. Sure, now league it like me, yeah, of course I'd have to. I'd hop into it myself. An odd time. But they're chilly enough, you know, it takes a while for them to warm up. Don't be under any illusions. The water isn't like swimming pool temperature or anything like that, even like the sea when you have a bit of hot weather. Anyway, good luck with your paddling pools across the northeast and beyond. Late Lunch, LMFM Radio. I have books to give away after three for children. You Are My Sunshine, they're called. Don't miss that. For your child, I have books to give away. But taking us up to top of the hour at 3 o'clock and your late lunch, it's Starship and nothing's going to stop us blowing up them bloody pools, whether it's with pumps or your lungs. No, it certainly ain't going to stop us in this weather to keep the children and grandchildren happy. Yes, get blowing, get your pump out, save your lungs. Here's Starship on Late Lunch. Looking in your eyes, hey Jerry and Louise, I'm imagining suggesting boiled chicken or even fish for dinner for my teenager after exams. OMG, oh my God, says Anne. Anne, I know, and they love the fast food stuff and the convenience and everything like that. But by God, it's funny, down the road, as they live more and learn more, they begin to realise, you know what I mean, about food and that. But I hear what you're saying and most parents would probably reflect what you say. But Rachel Graham was with us to advise on optimum nutrition during exam time. And if you take her advice, well, it will help along. But we do hear you. Thanks for getting in touch with us today. We were talking about blow up swimming pools. Rose has been on to say, my advice is to get a dog pool. They fold up. You don't have to blow them up. They're a good size, Jerry, and you just empty them then. So there you are. No, so I could hop in the dog pool myself, I'm sure, with Rose's recommendation there. There you are. Get that one and there's no blowing up involved. Anyway, if you have the pump for the blow-up pool, you're all right, that's for sure. But trying to put the air into it yourself, it's not the best of an idea, I have to say. Vivian, we got your message about that event coming up. It's a little while down the road. We'll come back to you on that, I promise you. But for the moment, let's do this on Late Lunch.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Counting down the top 5 songs from this week of yesteryear. And today it's
the number 5 from this very week in 1997. And the interesting thing about the number 5 in the top 5 countdown this week is that it was out prior to this. It was actually released first in 1995. So we are talking about 2 years later. You'll know it well because it is the theme song from Friends by the Rembrandts. And when it came out first in 1995, it reached number 3 in the UK singles chart, and it was a big hit in the US on the US Billboard Hot 100 Airplay chart. It was there for 8 weeks and topped that one, topped another of the minor charts in the USA as well. And would you believe it? Even to today, they reckon that this song is streamed on average almost 100 times a week across the world. Its popularity endures. Yes, it's the Rembrandts, the number 5 from this week in 1997, and I'll be there for you.
When it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, or even your year.
Rembrandt's theme song from Friends, second time round, 1997, this very week, number 5 in our top 5 countdown, and a cracking song it is indeed. Number 4 on your way tomorrow and so on, and we count down to the number 1 on Friday afternoon. Now, final break of the day on the way on Late Lunch, and I have some beautiful wee books to give away to you this afternoon, because the books are called You Are My Sunshine. It's the most touching colouring book I think I've ever seen, illustrated and written by Niamh Jones, who's joining me next. Got a lovely card recently and some beautiful wee books, and the card said, "Hope these little books bring joy to some little ones today." Well, they brought joy to this little one at heart here, I have to say, because I just adore them. They're called You Are My Sunshine. It's a lovely wee colouring book, and it's illustrated by Niamh Jones, who's on the line. Niamh, afternoon.
Hiya, Jerry. How are you?
Ah, I'm better for receiving the beautiful wee books with the lovely ladybird, the bee, and more besides on the front, and the big sunshine, and it's so appropriate with the weather we're having at the moment. I love them, Niamh.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I started doing some digital art. That's how that happened. And I'd never done it before. And I'd always wanted to illustrate a book of some kind, maybe like a colouring book or something like that. So I was playing around with it. And, you know, the kind of my story with art and how it helped me, I thought I could make it kind of a colouring book and then kind of an activity book as well. Mm. So kids can kind of write how they feel and that kind of a thing, because even from an early age, it's important to be able to express yourself.
Yes, because
talk about how you feel.
Yes, even when you turn the cover into the first page, it says "my feelings today I feel," and the little one can put their feelings in there, and of course on the inside cover they put their name, their age, etc., and on it goes. What age would you say these books are pitched at? What child? What child age?
I'd say start from about 3.
Mm.
Now, there is every second page is to be coloured in, so there is kind of reading. Now, when I say reading, there's a couple of words on each page, but it's even for a younger child, if they wanted to colour them in and just draw a picture or anything, like it could be for any age, really.
Yeah, and well, as I turn again, it says keep smiling, things that make me happy. There's advice in it, drink lots of water, water the flowers, and then dream big. What are your dreams? My dreams. And there's just little lines there, you colour away and you fill in your dreams. I'd say you're right, from about three on up, I'd say they're ideal for sort of the age, 5, 6, 7, 8, around that age, if I were to call it. But look, that's just my assessment of it. Now, you sent me in a number of these books, and if you're listening to us today, you've got to get going on this quick, because we're nearly off the air. Would you like a copy of the book? I'd send it out to you for your little one. All you have to do is text or WhatsApp the word sunshine, which is in the title of the book, You Are My Sunshine, sunshine, to 086 1800 658, and put the age of the child on it, three upwards. They love these. They're beautiful wee little books, I have to say. 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. Sunshine. Maybe put your child's name on it. That would be lovely if you could. And we'll pick some people to give the books to. And the feelings you have in it, you know what I mean? And the messages like share your toys, care for animals, treat yourself. All these are pages as I leaf through the book. Again, you're thinking about children and the way they think and their mental health from a young age, Niamh, is it?
Absolutely, because that's where it all starts, you know, and that's where it's very important at that age, you know, and that kind of, to be able to express yourself from that age, you'll be able to carry it on through your life then. That's what I think anyway, and you can do it, and it can be a bit of fun for them as well. They have the bright colours on the pages and they can do a bit of colouring, and it's fun for them as well, you know.
They're lovely. They really are. They've touched me, I have to tell you. I feel like getting me colouring pencils out or ever myself and starting to have a go at them. But I think importantly on each of the pages, it allows a child express their thoughts and feelings.
Absolutely, yeah. And then in the back of the book, I just have a little piece to say that if they do colour in the book or a few pages, whatever is their favourite picture, they can get their mom or their dad or whoever it might be to send it in, and I can put up their artwork on my website, on my Facebook.
Isn't that just lovely? Now, there's an offer for you today. You'll be going across social media with your artwork as well, and Niamh wants to make that offer to you. How do people do that? Just remind them, or anybody can do this and get in touch with you, because you have an Instagram, you have your website, WhatsApp or whatever. Let them know.
Yeah, so if anyone wants a book, or if they do get the book and they want to send in their child's picture, they can send it to my WhatsApp on 087 312 8404, on Instagram at artangeldublin, that's all one word, or my email is artangel@outlook.ie.
Artangel Dublin. If you Google that, you will get all the information on Niamh as well. You know, you mix and match the sentiments and feelings here. There's another page. Treat yourself. Shine bright. Positivity. Spread your wings. Make a wish. You've left a page even that children can write down their wishes on that page. I have to say, you've packed a lot of thought into a lovely little book, Niamh.
Yeah, a lovely little pocket-sized book. So it's not too big and bulky. You can take it out. You can take it out anywhere. You can bring it in the car. You know, it's the type of thing you can just throw it in your bag and bring it anywhere with you. I've done a lot of different kind of projects since I was last on in March talking to you. I started painting, doing my art on plant pots, and there's a man down in on the Gulf Road in Rush. Golf Road Nurseries, Alan Kelly, and he was nice enough, he's taken them in there, and they're selling really well. I'm out the back in the sun painting all day, and they're doing very well. And I went to the City North that I was talking to you about last time, and because that was a holistic fair, I had my artwork. But then I got into the whole holistic side of things with the crystals and the incense and that kind of a thing. So I started up my website and I started to sell crystals and incense and my artwork and prints of my artwork and all of this combined. And I'm actually opening my first shop now in Skerries in the first week of July, please God.
Oh, good on you. So life has certainly taken off for you, from, you know, where you told us in a place you were at one stage to where you are today. It must, you know, give you great heart and encouragement.
I can't believe it. I can't believe where I am now. I've never been happier. And, you know, when I was on to you in March, talking to you that time really gave me the confidence to push myself and to show my work. Because before I did speak to you, I felt like no one cares. No one wants to see what I have to show or what I can do. And after the interview, I found it was the exact opposite. You know, people do care. It's just if you give them a chance to listen. There was listeners actually that came to the City North just to put a face to the name that they heard on the radio. It was lovely. It was really nice. And yeah, I can't believe it.
Ah, good on you. And thank you so much for those kind words to us as well. I'm really thrilled to hear how, you know, a little chat with us here has made such a difference to your own life. It's great. It really is great, Niamh. I'm delighted for you. And onwards and upwards and forwards and all those words I say to you. But you've made a lovely job. I want to come back to this. You've made a lovely job of this wee book, I have to say. You are my sunshine. And again, check Niamh out, Art Angel Dublin, if you just want to find out more about this great lady and where you can get in touch or etc. Just give your email again.
Yeah, it's artangel@outlook.ie.
That's it, artangel@outlook.ie. Anyway, I have loads of people looking for your books again here today. You can get in touch with Niamh and she'll look after you, I promise you. Keep on rocking, young woman.
Thank you so much for having me on, Jerry.
Not at all. God bless you. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. That's the wonderful Niamh Jones there. Ashley Maj, Ada Quigley, Harry Todd, Emma in Dundalk for Ruby, who she tells me has ADHD, and Ella Doyle. You're all getting copies of the little book today called You Are My Sunshine by Niamh Jones. We'll be in touch to make the arrangement. And thanks to everybody who's been WhatsApp and texting us in by the new time as we finish late lunch this afternoon. Enjoy the evening. Get out into your gardens, wherever you are, and enjoy the sunshine. Take it in. It's wonderful. Eddie Caffrey's coming next with the Drive on LMFM Radio. Make sure you have the radio on. You're listening to us on the app or online. Stay with us here on LMFM Radio. We'll bring you the music to make the evening wonderful. And we'll be back with your late lunch tomorrow, Tuesday, at 1:30. We'll see you then.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.